In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So as we read this parable, it's important to visualize where this is happening and when this is happening. And this parable is being spoken by Christ in the midst of a crowd. And it was a crowd of people who followed him, believers, non-believers, people who were attacking him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were all there in this crowd. And they're having this discussion. And Christ wanted to relay a message. And so he uses a form of a story called a parable. And in any parable, the way that it's put together, it's a story that's relatable. It's a story that's relatable to the people so that they can hear the story, understand the deeper message that Christ is trying to tell from very basic things. So at the time, having a vineyard was very common, or working at a vineyard was very common, right? Like the more wealthy people had vineyards, and the people who were less wealthy would work for them. And so a vineyard was a very common, like, place. But sometimes when we read these parables, we struggle with it. We hear these stories and we're like, oh, you know, we get the idea, but we don't fully grasp it. So I tried today to kind of put it in a different perspective, a perspective that we might understand, because we all understand leasing and owning. And when we lease from someone versus when we own something. And so I want us to picture this in a different way. Forget the vineyard. Think about it as like a restaurant. Okay? And there's a chef. And the chef is he's leasing out the restaurant. But he's not just leasing out the restaurant like just the four walls. He's leaving everything. He's leaving the food, the ingredients, the recipes, the equipment. Everything is there. Okay? And he asks the tenant, the person who's renting from him, all you have to do is take care of the restaurant and make sure that you're feeding everybody. Prepare the meals that I've given you and just make sure that you're taking care of the people that are coming, the customers. And little by little, people are coming and they're not being served. And the tenant starts doing his own stuff, changes everything around, starts having his own personal parties, ignores the reports, ignores all this stuff. The idea behind this is that automatically we understand that the owner gave specific instructions, but the tenant is ignoring it. And so this is the same idea. It's if we receive something, if we believe in our hearts that we receive something that is not ours, our life that is not ours, but it belongs to God, and He is the landlord, then our mindset would be different. Our focus would be different. Our day-to-day would be very different. So the first thing we have to understand is that our life, our bodies, everything in our life is on lease. It's on lease. Now, when is the lease going to end? We don't know. It could end at any time. But we don't know. But as we are holding on to this lease, we take care of what we're given. We're faithful to what we receive. Everything is a part of this. Our time, our money, our family, our ministry, the resources, everything that we have belongs to God. If we have this mentality, we will be more faithful. Imagine how you feel sometimes when you're borrowing something very, like, important to somebody, very valuable. Let's say you're borrowing someone's car. You're going to be extra careful with it. You're renting someone's house, somebody of close family friend, and you're renting their house, you're going to be extra careful. The reason is because you know that it's something valuable and it belongs to somebody that you care about. If we look at our life in the same way, that it's valuable, but given to us by somebody who loves us and we love, then we will do a better job in taking care of it. St. John Chrysostom says, nothing is yours. You are a steward of what belongs to another. You are a steward of what belongs to another. Nothing is yours. Nothing. And I think this is the constant problem that we have growing up, is that the world tells us, it's yours. Do everything, like earn it, this and that. And God says, no. Everything that you're quote-unquote earning is from me. Your ability to work is from me. Your ability to find a job is from me. Every aspect of your life is because of me. And in doing so, we're going to be called to an account, to be called to account for how we've managed what God has given us. The second thing is that God is constantly looking for fruits. He's looking. He's waiting for fruits. Why? What was the purpose of these visits? Was to collect on the fruit. Like the vineyard's owner, he would just come to check on the fruit. If the fruit was there, would he have gone upset? No. So as we continue to lease this life, let's provide fruit. Now, what is this fruit? This fruit is love, mercy, holiness, repentance, faith. All of these things are ways that God is saying, okay, great. I gave you this, and I'm seeing a return on what I've given you. I've given you your body, I've given you your life, I've given you your health, I've given you your family, I've given you whatever you have. Let's see what you do with it. And he's given us the tools, but it's a matter of us putting these tools into action. St. Cyril says, the fruit he seeks is obedience of faith, the fragrance of love, and the sweetness of mercy. He's asking for us to be obedient to him, to show love to him and to show love to others. The next is that out of God's mercy and out of God's love, he doesn't just leave. He doesn't just say, oh, you messed up, give me back the vineyard. Because that then the story would have ended in two verses. What did he do? He sent a servant. And then they killed that servant. He sent another servant and they killed the other servant. So it was a constant. What were these servants that God was sending? God was sending people in our life. He sends people in our life to relay a message. He sends people in our life to say, hey, that's not okay what you're doing. Or you should try doing this. Or you should, let me help you with this. God sends people to us all the time. It seems really harsh when you're reading the story, like these tenants just killed the servants. Like, this is crazy. Remember, this is a made-up story. But at the same time, God is constantly sending people to us, right? He's constantly sending people to us. He's sending people to relay a message of love. Maybe it's a message that we hear all the time and we're just ignoring. How do we respond to that message? I'll tell you. Sometimes we say, well, that person should mind their own business. Right? Like, oh, this person is saying you should do this. Mushdawa. Like, this person, get him out of my life. Like, who does this person? And then what do? We start judging that person. How is this person going to tell me how to live my life? Did you see in their life they have this? But God is using these people in our life. God doesn't just use people. He uses circumstances. He uses situations to relay a message to us. Lastly, there's a response to all of this. What happened after they sent the vineyard's owner sends his son and they killed him? He didn't just get rid of the vineyard. He's like, you know, forget this. This is a problem. I'm not going to deal with this again. Let me just sell it and count my losses and figure it out. No, he says, I'm going to give it to another person. I'm going to lease it to another person. And this is actually very scary, or very sad, for a better term. Why? Because when looking at the vineyard, think of it as an opportunity to be blessed. If we, at some point, God is saying, all right, you're not, I've given all of these opportunities for you to receive a blessing. What happens if we don't take it? Will it still get done? Yeah, it'll still get done by someone else. Someone else will take the blessing. I use this example a lot. Sometimes, like, we'll be walking in the church, or like outside the church, right? And you're walking in the, like, between the parking lot and the church, and you see, like, stuff on the floor. Chips bags and cans and things on the floor. And there's two ways of dealing with it. One is looking at it and then ignoring it and just shaking your head like, oh, how can somebody just, and you're just ignoring it. Or taking the blessing and picking it up and throwing it away. If you don't pick it up and throw it away, whose loss is it? It's yours. The next person is going to take that blessing. And so that's how we should look at our life, as constant opportunities to receive a blessing. You know somebody's in need of something? God will provide. We believe that. God will provide for that person. But why don't we take the blessing in allowing God to provide through us? Right? Or somebody is out, sick, whatever. Somebody's going to ask about that person. God will send somebody to ask about that person. Well, why can't it be me? In the Bible, Isaiah, when God said, who shall I send? Isaiah screamed out and says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. I want to take the blessing. So it's an opportunity for us to be blessed. If we look at life as a constant opportunity to be blessed, because that's what service is, an opportunity. We find ways. We don't wait till we're asked. Because if we wait till we're asked, that's not really, it's not the same. It's nice. Then you could practice obedience, right? But let's look at our life as ways, as like looking for opportunities to serve others, to help others, to ask about others, to bless others, to donate, to reach out to somebody who's in need, to whatever, to clean something. It's not limited. This is the beauty about God. God doesn't say this is the only way you will receive a blessing. No, there's multiple ways. So just to go over the list, the first thing is to realize that what we have our whole life is leased, right? Secondly, it's the understanding that when we don't own, we have to also provide a fruit. Thirdly, God sends his servants. How do we accept the message versus reject? And fourth is to also always look for opportunities to receive a blessing. Things will get done. The church will continue with or without us. Service will continue with or without us. Everything will happen with or without us. But service is an opportunity to be blessed. Let's take that opportunity Because if we don't, somebody else will, which is nice, but then we're missing out. So let's try to work on that as we continue to look to St. Mary, who, as she received the message, received the annunciation of her receiving the word of God, she becomes the mother of God. The first thing she did was look for an opportunity to serve her cousin Elizabeth. Let's constantly look for opportunities to help others, and glory be to God forever. Amen.